I love the verse that you all are learning, Acts 1:8. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But you know, as you learn a verse, sometimes you overlook some of the small words in the Bible. Two very important words I want you to notice as you memorize that verse this week. The verse goes, "But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And then he says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both." That word "both" is a key to why we have missions programs in our churches. You see, the only way that you can obey Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is for you to be a witness where you are, and then for you to be a witness where you're not. And the only way you can do that is to give so a missionary can take the gospel in your place to a foreign country or to our place like Round Rock, Texas, or to Africa or the other places that are being represented in the missions conference today. And that's such a key word, both. God wants us to do it at the same time. And that's why you need to pray about what God will lay on your heart to give to Faith Promise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, there's a passage of Scripture where Paul was teaching the church at Corinth about how to expand their missions program, and he started off in verse 1 addressing the brethren. He said, "Brethren, it's up to the Christians to reach the world with the gospel." Amen? Hey, I said it's up to the Christians to reach the world with the gospel. Amen? It's your job, it's my job to do all we can to get the precious message of what Jesus did when he came and died on the cross and was buried and rose again. It is our responsibility. It is our privilege. It is our, if you please, our honor to be able to help get that message to the world. That's why you need to pray about what God would have you to give to missions. In that passage in 2 Corinthians, I'd like for you to go ahead and turn there for just a moment in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And as Paul was writing to the church there, there was something that was very, very important for them to do in finding out what they should do. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if you'll notice down at verse 5 with me. In verse 5, he said this. He said, I'm messed up here for a minute. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm sorry. My apologies. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. Notice what he said there. He said, "And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And then Paul said, unto us by the will of God." You see, for you to be involved in this work of missions, God wants you to give in the same power that we would go in. We saw back in Acts 1:8, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." In this verse, they needed to pray and go beyond their power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you will pray and ask God what God wants you to do, don't worry about your budget. I can promise you already, if you go check your budget, there's nothing there. Amen. We wouldn't find much to give to missions if we just checked the budget. But if we'll get a hold of God and find out what God wants us to do in this matter of giving, let Him lay a figure on our hearts, let Him direct in it, and then us begin to give by faith, God will bless that. And He will give back to us even and bless us with the ability to be able to do that, and to give beyond what we could ever give ourselves. So how many of you got a Faith Promise card this morning, a commitment card? Let me see your hand. If you didn't get one, we'll get one to you. Everybody's got one. Please, please. The key now is to pray and find out what God wants you to do and get involved. Everybody should give. Everybody that's saved should give. It's not a matter of if I should give, but what I should give. And so pray and ask the Lord what He'd have you to do, and it'll be a blessing to you, and we'll say some more about that throughout the week. But right now, I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians with me. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. I want to speak to you this morning. Why do we have churches? What is the purpose of the church? Why is it important for you to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any other time the door is open? What is it so important? What did God do with the church that made it so important for us to be a part of? And if you notice here in Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to go down to verse 13 with me. And we'll begin reading there. The Bible says, "Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." I want you to notice that phrase there, "ye that are in Christ Jesus." Because that's a key this morning to this message. Ye that are in Christ Jesus. You see, the truth is that we live in a world today that isn't in Christ Jesus. The only way to be in Christ Jesus is to accept what He did for you on the cross. The Bible says simply, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It is a simple action, but it's a deep truth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that puts us into Christ Jesus according to Scripture. And you know, the exciting thing this morning is if you're in Christ Jesus, there are some exciting things in store for you. But they're not just in store for you in the future, they're in store for you right now, today. I want you to notice with me in that passage as we read on. I'm going to read verse 13 again. You follow along. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partitions between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. That's the enemy, if you please. The enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself one twain, one new man, so making peace. Verse 16, it says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You see, because of what Jesus did on the cross, you are no longer have to be the enemy of God. You don't have to have enmity between you and him. You can have a relationship with him. You can have peace with him. But look what else it says. Look at verse 18 with me. He said, for through him we both have access by one Spirit into the flesh. Verse 19 is my text verse this morning. Would you read it out loud with me? The Bible says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I want to talk to you this morning about being in the household of God. I am glad this morning that through Jesus Christ, being in him, that I am in the household of God. But watch this. Just being in the household of God, there's some responsibilities and things that come along with that. But just to be in Christ Jesus puts us into the household of God. I'm so thankful this morning I'm in the household of God and not in Obama's household. Amen? And certainly I'm glad that I'm not in Hillary's household. Hillary's household, three H's. I could think of a fourth thing that would be involved with that, but we'll not go there. But I'm just saying today that, listen, I mean, the Bible tells us that if we're in Christ Jesus, now remember, that's the key. That's the key to get into the household of God. You got to be in Christ Jesus. You have to have accepted him as your personal Savior. You've had to have accepted what he did for you on the cross as your only hope for heaven. You know, the world and Satan has so complicated this thing about eternal life. They've so complicated it with this thing called religion. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of religions today. But there's still only two truths on how to get to the afterlife. You either get to the afterlife through what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, or all the other religions teach you get to the afterlife by what you do. It's that simple. You go back to Cain and Abel in the Old Testament, Genesis, and those two men, they portray those two systems of belief. One was a keeper of the sheep, that was Abel, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. It was his works that he offered up to God. And God doesn't accept what you can do, he only accepts what Jesus did. It's that simple, folks. It's the only two ways that the world has ever taught, and of course, think about it. When you believe in Jesus Christ, that's singular. That's the only thing there is to believe. Amen? But when you believe in all of the other religions or one of the other religions, there's thousands of things they teach about what you can do. But that won't work in the face and the eyes of God. So you have to be in Christ Jesus and accept what he did on the cross for you. But in the household of God, I want you to notice some exciting things here that opens up for us. The first thing I want you to notice, look at verse 18 there again. It says, for through him we both have what? Access by one Spirit unto the Father. I want you to know that being in the household of God gives us access to God. But not only access to God, but all that God has for us. I mean, I have access this morning to the peace of God. I have access this morning to the power of God. I have access this morning to all of the things that God has in his household. I mean, I can go down and sit in his easy chair. Amen? I mean, I can walk into his household and everything, and all of the comfort that he gives through the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, I can have that comfort this morning. I can have the grace that God gives me. I can have the mercy that God has for us. I can have everything that's there accessible to me. Why? Because I have the key. I'm in Christ Jesus. I accepted him as my Savior on September 9th of 1972. And I have access. I have access to the throne of grace. I have access to get my prayers answered. So many things that we have. I mean, you know what? God provides for us. I love the passages of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6 where it tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then He adds all these things to us. You ever stop and look at all the wonderful things He adds to us? He closes us better than anybody else would close us, including ourselves. Let me ask you this question, though. In the access of God, are we accepting what He has for us with the access that we have? You know something, preacher? Man and churches have struggled for years about this thing of dress. When we get to heaven, He'll have all the dress provided for us. Robes of white righteousness that He'll put us in. He'll clothe us for eternity. We fuss sometimes and say, well, you ought to eat this or you ought to eat that, but in heaven we'll eat everything that God has for us. And it'll be sweet, juicy, and good, and it'll be the best tasting stuff we've ever had in all of existence. He will feed us and take care of us. With the access to God, all of the comfort, you know, you think of the strife that's going on in our world today and wars and rumors of wars, and we look at all of the illnesses and the diseases and the sadness, the crime that takes place, and it hurts. All of that's gone in heaven. There'll be no pain, there'll be no sorrow there. But you see, He doesn't give us that eternal access. He's given us access today. This is how we can get the work of God done, because we have access to God and His power. The problem is that many of us want more access to the world than we want access to the things of God. That's the problem with most of the Christians today. I'm just being honest with you, this world's a pretty comfortable place. It's offering some pretty fine things. And they're giving us godlike qualities that Satan has devised. I mean, our cell phones make us all present, just like God is, amen? Think about it. Hey, we can Google things, and we can find out things. We have knowledge, just like God is all-knowing. All-powerful. We've taken life into our own hands to control things ourselves. But God has much better things than cell phones. He even has better things than smartphones. You know, if I wanted to call Brother Reyes or text him or something like that, I have to get my device out and I have to either type out a message or call him on the phone and everything and hold that thing up or put it on speakerphone or something, but I have to have a device to do so. Hey, you don't need any device to have access to God today. You just have to be in Christ Jesus. And you can pray anywhere, everywhere, and all the time, the Bible tells us. I'm just saying that in Christ Jesus, we have much better things than the world has to offer. Listen, you go ahead and Google and ask Google when you're going to die. They don't know. I've tried it. I've Googled and said, Google, how many hairs are on my head? They don't know. But God does. I mean, we think about the great things that we have in this world, and God says, you want to live in that household? He said, I've got a much better household for you. He said, I'm giving you access to my household in Christ Jesus. Boy, when we're in Christ Jesus, we have access to the household of God. But I want you to notice, not only do we have access, but according to the Scriptures here, He also says that we have acceptance. Look at verse 19. I love this. Verse 19 of Ephesians 2 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I mean to tell you that we have acceptance in the household. Acceptance with who? Well, I just want you to know that I have a lot of relatives in heaven. I'm accepted as Peter's brother. My favorite apostle is the Apostle John. John the Beloved, who laid his head on the breast of Jesus Christ, who was very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was John that Jesus gave the care of His earthly mother to. It was John that was at the cross watching Jesus die. And it was John, after the Roman government tried to boil him and kill him and everything, that was on the Isle of Patmos that Jesus Himself came to comfort and give grace to in person. on the Isle of Patmos. John, the beloved, he's one of my brothers. He's as much as one of my brothers as Brother Reyes is one of my brothers today. If you're in Christ Jesus, he's as much as our brother as you are my brother today. And if you're in Christ Jesus as a lady, as my sister, I mean, you look at all of the people in the Bible, they're our brothers and they're our sisters, and we have access. But we also have acceptance into the family. One of my wife's daughters, and I think most of you know, we're both in a second marriage. Our first mates had passed away. But her oldest daughter got married this last April. She met a man who was a widower and a fine gentleman, a Christian, of course. But along with him came 10 new grandchildren. And all of a sudden, I have 10 more grandchildren than I had last year at this time. And I'm just trying to get to know their names. And you know, we went to their house a few weeks ago just to visit them, and they live up in the Phoenix area, and we drove up there and we went to their house, a big sprawling house and a nice 10-acre farmette and things, and we got in there, and of course, I had met the children a couple of times by this time, but still trying to remember their names and them in their own habitats. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't really feel at home. But I watched my daughter as she interacted with the children, as she interacted in the house, and as she was making the house her home. She'd been working on things in different rooms of the house that she was putting up her decorations and the things that identified with her. And as I got to some of those areas, I felt more at home. But she feels completely at home. Why? Because she is part of the family now. And she has that access and that acceptance. To hear those little children, there's 6 of them that are under the age of 10. And to hear those little children calling her mom was a refreshment to me. It was a blessing to see how they were accepting her as their new mom. It's been 4 or 5 years since there's been a mom in that house. Can you imagine? The youngest one was 6 months old when his mama passed away with cancer. And oh my goodness, to see somebody to be able to step into the role is one thing, but to accept the role is something else. And I'm telling you, we have acceptance in the household of God. He accepts us. Do you accept Him? I'm not saying just as your Savior, but as a family member that you talk to and that you fellowship with and that you're concerned about what's going on in His life and His world. I mean, Jesus has something for each of us to do, and we're accepted into the household of God. We've been added to the household of God, and through that we have this access and we have acceptance. But I want you to notice thirdly with me this morning, look at verse 20 and 21. Because here's where the rubber really gets down to the pavement. In verse 20, the Bible says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." I want you to notice that thirdly here in the household of God, that we have been added to the work of God. You and I are part of what's going on in this world to reach this world with the gospel in this generation. It is now our responsibility. It is now our work to do what God has for us to do. We're a building fitly joined on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus gave those words in Acts 1:8, those were the very last words that He spoke on this earth before He went back to heaven. He gave that command to about 120 people that were physically standing there at that time. And as He spoke those last words, we can tell that was His heart. That was His desire. And those words still ring in churches today that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Savior. In the household of God, there are chores to do. And those chores are reaching this world in our generation with the gospel. Starting more churches. Sending out more missionaries. You being a faithful witness where you are. The work of God. I don't know about you, but I still don't believe there's any greater work on this earth than telling somebody else about Jesus Christ. You got to have the internet? Use it to tell people about Jesus, not about you stopping to get a Starbucks. You have access to friends and family around you that you are probably the only person that's going to have the contact with them to take the gospel to them. Don't pass that by. Where you work at, you have opportunity to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Where you shop at, you have opportunity to hand somebody a tract that they may never get a tract from anybody else. I left out of Yuma Wednesday night. It'll be 2 weeks ago. And my first stop out of Yuma, I left after the service and I drove and had to stop and get gas in Searchlight, Nevada. Anybody ever been to Searchlight, Nevada? Nobody here has ever been to Searchlight, Nevada. One person? I've been to Searchlight, Nevada. As I came through that little community and I stopped at the only gas station that was open, there's probably only 1,000 people maybe that live in Searchlight. And I'm gassing up the car and everything, and there's an attendant inside that's working all night. And he was busy doing some things and had some duties, obviously, that he had to do. And I thought, I wonder if anybody has ever witnessed to anybody in Searchlight, Nevada. I don't know if there's any churches there or not. As I drove through the community, I didn't see any. Saw a few casinos right on the Nevada-Arizona border there. But as I drove through there, and I thought, has anybody ever witnessed to anybody in Searchlight, Nevada? I took a gospel track in and got to talk to the attendant. I left the track with him. No, he didn't get saved at that point, but you know, the point is, I wonder if anybody will ever witness to him again. That may be the only opportunity that young man ever has to hear the gospel. Folks, there are people everywhere you go that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And we've been added to the work. I'm thankful. I enjoy the work. I enjoy starting churches. I enjoy preaching missions conferences. I enjoy helping missionaries get their support raised so they can get to the field that God wants them to go to. I enjoy the work of starting churches and getting people saved and watching those people's lives change as the Lord takes in and they let the Lord take control of their life. I enjoy seeing the changes of going from worldly to spirituality. I enjoy this work that God's called us to. But nobody enjoys a work that they're not involved in. If you're involved in this work, it's an exciting work. If you're sitting from the outside in the household of God and just sitting around watching everybody else do the work, you're not going to get excited about it. But getting involved in it, you'll be excited as a person next to you is excited. We're added to the work of God with the household of God. The key is being in Christ Jesus. We have access, acceptance. We're added to the work. But then I want you to notice that lastly here with me, I want you to look at verse 21 again. I'm sorry, verse 22. In verse 22, he said, "In whom ye also are builded together for the habitation of God through the Spirit." That being in the household of God, we have the acquisition of the power to do God's work through the Holy Spirit of God. I'm thankful today that the results are not in my hands, but in His hands. Amen. I am so thankful that so many times I've just been able to leave a track with somebody, but here later that a person got saved because somebody left a track with somebody. I'm so thankful today that with the shortcomings and the failures that I have, that it's not through my strength nor my power that God gets His work done, but through His Holy Spirit that He accomplishes His work. And being in the household of God, we have acquired the power of the Holy Spirit of God to do His work. Think of it this way. If a person getting saved was up to you, you could become an MMA fighter. You could take the guy and body slam him, put him into a rear naked chokehold, choke him out. Then when he comes through, he says, "Now are you ready to listen?" Let's just face it, our power would not be good. Amen? Or we could pull out a gun and put it to somebody's head and say, "You're going to listen to me and you're going to accept what I'm telling you or I'm blowing your brains out." Let's face it, that's the result of what our power would amount to. But we've acquired the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And as we plant seed, water seed, and then sometimes get to see the harvest of that which we planted, isn't it refreshing and a blessing that the work of God goes through His power and not through yours or mine? The key this morning is, are you in the household of God? And the key is being in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ Jesus unlocks that household and lets me be a part. Gets me in. Lets me have the comfort and the joy. Lets me have the provision and all that God has for me. But not only does it have the access, I also am added to the work. Acquired the power of the Holy Spirit of God to do His work. My question this morning is this, folks. Do you have the key? The key is being in Christ Jesus. Is there a time that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope for heaven? Because when you stand before God, there will be nothing else that will open that door to get you into glory than the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and your total acceptance upon that. It cannot be Jesus in your baptism. It cannot be Jesus in your church membership. It cannot be Jesus in what you did yesterday or what you'll do today. It's Jesus and only through Jesus that unlocks the door to the household of God. Father, would You bless us this morning? We thank You for Thy precious Word. We thank You for the truths that we find in it. Lord, we thank You for this church that has just been a miracle lighthouse in this area, that so many people have come to know You through this ministry and work. And now, Lord, they're in a missions conference wanting to spread that throughout the world and throughout this country, throughout this city. Lord, there may be somebody sitting in this room and You know their hearts. We can't see, we don't know, but You know their hearts. Lord, I'd pray and ask if You would to please work in their hearts this morning if they're not in the household of God. If they've never accepted Your Son and what You did for us on Calvary, that You'd do a work in their heart this morning to see that's their only hope for heaven, to respond and accept that.